Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kedushan Daf Lamed Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 20 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Zayin. In our Mishnah, we saw at the top line of this Omid, regarding mitzvos that are tluyos ba'aretz, those mitzvos that are land bound, Eretz Yisrael, dealing with that which applies to the land, that which emerges from the land, that which grows forth, those kind of mitzvos, the whole realm of tithes and the sabbatical year, those apply only in the land of Israel. However, the Mishnah mentions Chutz min Orla v'Kilayim. We saw that at the top line, with the exception of the laws of Orla, the prohibition of the fruit of fruit-bearing trees during its first 3 years of fruit production, and Kilayim, the issue of a mixed breeding, of intermingling different species. Then Rebbe Lozar appeared in the Mishnah saying, Af HaChodosh. In our Gemara, we're going to focus on what is Rebbe Lozar trying to say? What is he accomplishing by saying Af HaChodosh? On the side of our Gemara, you see we have a Nosei / Mivneh. A Nosei is a topic heading. The Mivneh is the structural note. We've written on the side, Bior Divrei Rebbe Lozar B'Mishnah. We're going to try to explain Rebbe Lozar in the Mishnah. D'yomar Af HaChodosh. Now, translated, that means even the laws of Chodosh. Chodosh, and we mentioned in our previous year, has to do with the prohibition of benefiting from the new grains that sprouted forth during the season prior to the 16th of Nisan. We're not going to get into the details and why and the sources for that mitzvah. Simply let us refer to it henceforth as the mitzvah of Chodosh. So Rebbe Lozar in our Mishnah said, Af HaChodosh, Haim L'chumra, is he coming to reflect a stringency, namely, Da'af Chodosh Noheg B'chutz Laretz, in addition to what the Tanakhama said, that Orla and Kilayim are binding in the areas outside of Israel, Rebbe Lozar says, so too Chodosh. So Rebbe Lozar is adding to the list. Instead of just two exceptions, three exceptions of what appear to be land-bound mitzvahs that nevertheless apply outside of Israel, Oy Lekula. Or is he mentioning a leniency, namely Da'af Chodosh Rak Be'eretz Yisrael, that even Chodosh is limited to Israel, namely, now here we have to spell out, whereas the Tanakhama is saying Orla and Kilayim apply outside of Israel, the Tanakhama is saying even, and or I should say certainly, Chodosh applies outside of Israel. Why do we say certainly Chodosh? That we'll see in the Gemara. But for the time being, if you're going to present Rebbe Lozar as being a lenient opinion, the Tanakhama therefore is saying that there are in fact three exceptions regarding land-based mitzvahs that still apply, that nevertheless apply outside of the land. Two were stated black on white, Orla v'Kilayim, and the Tanakhama is understood to say, and certainly Chodosh, and Rebbe Lozar moves into the picture and says, if you say that he is a lenient opinion, he's saying no, even Chodosh is only Eretz Yisrael bound. So as we look at our Gemara text, you'll notice that we present this as a long question. The structure of the question is basically very standard form. It's Aleph, first side of the question, and then later, Oy Dilma, if you allow your eye to skim down, you'll see where Oy Dilma appears, a squiggle underlined, as we always do with regard to an Oy Dilma, or maybe, and then possibility, Beis. The reason we're dwelling on this structure here is because each side is presented rather thoroughly. The Aleph side is presented with Rebbe Lozer maybe being Luchumra. So we have to set up what is the Tanakam's opinion, and then how does Rebbe Lozer react? And then in the Oy Dilma, we do the same thing. Suggesting that Rebbe Lozer is lenient, we first have to set up what is the Tanakama's opinion, and then how does Rebbe Lozer appear as a lenient approach. So that's why we have, not only we have a long question, but we've spelled out the Aleph, it lasts quite a few lines, and then Oy Dilma Beis. In addition to this, we have quite a bit of markings. It might, to the uninitiated, it looks maybe over-marked or densely marked, but I think that every marking has its significance. If you look at the side of the Gemara, we continue with our introductory notes. The triangles that you see in the text, we've written on the side, Hadgoshas Lechumra Ulekula. They highlight the approaches. The first approach, you can see the triangle, is presenting Rebbe Lozer as being the more strict, strict opinion. In other words, saying that the mitzvah of Chodosh is binding, is restrictive, even outside the land of Israel, in addition to Orla and Kilayim. The second triangle that you see has highlighted Lekula, where Rebbe Lozer is presented as being Mekel. But now we mention each time, before we see Rebbe Lozer himself, the Gemara will present the opinion of the Tanakama. When we speak about Rebbe Lozer being either Machmir or Mekel, it's all in respect to what the Tanakama's position is. So we have to state his position as well. And you'll notice a diagonal dashed underline, which we featured on the side, V'hochi koma Tanakama, V'osa Rebbe Lozer. And that means at each point that you see this dashed underline, will be presenting their respective opinions. First the Tanakama, and then Rebbe Lozer, each time. Both an Aleph, and then Oy Dilma Beis. Another marking that we've used quite liberally over here is a bow tie shape. And we've noted that the bow tie highlights the word Moshav. Moshav is based on the word in the Torah, Moshvo Sechem. Havlata, we say this is an attempt to highlight the word. Kedei lahokel, to make things a little easier. Lakov achreho efshorios bavonas Moshav. To keep track of what the different possibilities in understanding that word are. Aleph, one possibility is B'chol Mokim Shatem Yoshvim. Moshav means wherever you dwell. The land of Israel, outside the land of Israel. Beis, the second possibility is that the word Moshav is a reference to Beretz. So first of all, it's limited to the land of Israel. And it has another connotation. V'rak Achar Yerushav Yeshiva. After the conquest of the land and the distribution of the land amongst the Jewish people at the time of Joshua, where the land was conquered from the Canaanite nations and then distributed amongst the 12 tribes. Kedei lifshod es shelosenu, in order to resolve our question, this is a note that appears that's relevant to after we see the long question. Kedei lifshod es shelosenu, Abaye mevi es hatana shechilek el Rebbe Lozer. Rebbe Lozer is the what we call the unknown in our discussion, and Abaye will then bring in, will quote the Tana that disagrees with Rebbe Lozer. The Darko, once we know the stand of or the opinion of the Tana that disagrees with Rebbe Lozer, then we'll be able to understand what Rebbe Lozer's interpretation of the word Lemoshav, of Moshav, is. Now, the word Moshav, in the context of Chodosh, is quoted in the pasuk that we've written on the side of the Gemara, Vayikra Perichov Gimel Pasuk Yudalit. I hope everyone sees this in the margin. About a little more than halfway down the page, we've written in our margin the following. This is a pasuk regarding the Chodosh law, the law pertaining to the prohibition of using new grains, the grains that grew during, we'll say, the winter season, until the 16th of Nisan, essentially the second day of Pesach. The pasuk says, you might want to note that at the end of the pasuk is actually the key word, Moshvot Seichem. It says in the verse, V'lechem v'koli v'karmel lo yisoichlu ad etzem ayoyim hazeh, ad haviyachem es korbon elikechem chukas oylom l'durosechem b'chol moshvot Seichem. The pasuk is describing lechem, koli, v'karmel, different aspects of the new grains you shall not eat until this very day. This very day referred to is the 16th of Nisan, the day on which a special sacrifice was brought in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, known as the Korban Oimer. It was a barley grain offering. And that halach applies. The pasuk says, Chukas Oilam L'doro Seichem, for the future generations, B'chol Moshvo Seichem. And that word is going to be the focus of our analysis. That's the word we've highlighted in our Gemara text with a bow tie. So now, with that elaborate introduction having been said, we turn to the Gemara text. The Mishnah said that though, in general, land-based mitzvahs, agricultural-based mitzvahs, are bound or restricted to the land of Israel, only there are they binding, the Tanakhama mentioned two exceptions, Orla and Kilayim, and Rebbe Lozer said, Af HaChodosh, Ibai Eloha. Now we ask, Rebbe Lozer Lekula Polig, is Rebbe Elezer coming to be more Mekil, more tolerant or more lenient than the first opinion regarding Chodosh? Or is he coming to be more restrictive than the Tanakhama regarding Chodosh? What I found to be tricky in this sukkah is that when you look in the Mishnah, you don't see the Tanakhama speaking explicitly about Chodosh. We have, and without knowing what the Tanakhama says about Chodosh, we can't know what Rebbe Lozer's opinion about Chodosh is. So our job is to spell out what does the Tanakhama hold about Chodosh, and that also has two possibilities. They are all featured in the Gemara under the Aleph, Oy Dilma, or maybe Beis later on. So let's go. L'chumra polik, maybe Rebbe Lozer is restrictive. When we speak about restrictive and Chodosh, it means that Chodosh will be binding outside of Israel as well. Well, if Rebbe Lozer is going to hold L'chumra, that means that the Tanakhama, the first opinion, was lenient, was not restricting people regarding the new grains until the 16th of Nisan outside of Eretz Yisrael. V'hochi ko'amar Tanakhama. And here we highlight first the Tanakhama with the dashed underline. What does the Tanakhama say? Chutz min ha'orlu min ha'kalayim. As far as land-based mitzvahs, two exceptions that will nevertheless apply outside of Israel, they are Orla and Kilayim. Tehilchus ha'gemiri law, there is an oral tradition, afagav di'iko lemei marchoivas karkahi, even though without any tradition I would have said it's limited to Eretz Yisrael, the oral tradition says that Orla and Kilayim will apply outside the land of Israel. We're speaking, by the way, in general terms, exactly the gradation. Orla certainly is halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Kilayim might be in a rabbinic. Rashi makes reference to it as divrei sofrim. But for our purposes, it's part of an oral tradition that they apply, Orla and Kilayim apply outside of Israel. Avol, chodosh, ba'oretz in, b'chutz la'aretz lo. But the Tanakhama's opinion regarding Chodosh, it's only in the land of Israel. Or it's in, means yes, it's binding in Eretz Yisrael. Lo, in Chutz Laaretz, not in Chutz Laaretz. My time, and why would the Tanakhama hold that? We don't know that that's his opinion. We're saying, theoretically, why would he hold that if that's his opinion? Why would he be lenient and restrict Chodosh to Israel proper? Because Moishav, the word Moishav that appears in the Pasuk by Chodosh, we read the pasuk on the side. The word means la'acha yerusha yeshiva mashma. that it's binding only after the Jews entered the land of Israel, and only after not only did they conquer it but divide the land. We speak about a 14-year period of time that it took for the conquest and division of the land. So that according to the Tanakhama, Chodosh is restricted to Eretz Yisrael, and even within Eretz Yisrael, it would be binding after 14 years of their presence there. The Osa Rebbe Lozer Lameimar, and then if the Tanakhama is lenient, Rebbe Lozer comes to be machmir, to be more restrictive, and say that Chodosh will be applicable outside the land of Israel as well. And he comes to say, Af Chodosh Noyeg Bein Baretz Bein Bechutz Laretz. Now we've dashed underline Chodosh within Rebbe Lozer, because this is really the focus of our Gemara discussion. What his opinion is with regard to Chodosh. So according to this approach, Rebbe Lozer is saying that Chodosh as well is applicable even outside the land of Israel. My time, why would someone say that Chodosh is binding outside the land of Israel? Because of the word Moishav. Moishav b'chol mokom shatem yoshvim. That means that Rebbe Lozer would take the word Moishav to mean wherever you dwell. So, that includes Chutz Laretz, that includes the areas outside of Israel. Rebbe Lozer then is more machmir. Oy dilma, Lakula Palik, or it could be that Rebbe Lozer, in fact, is lenient. Now, at this point, even without reading on in the Gemara, you could probably guess why each one would assume their respective opinions. Namely, if Rebbe Lozer is presented as being the lenient one, that means the Tanakhama was restrictive. And why would the Tanakhama be restrictive? Well, based on the word Moshav. What would the Tanakhama, who is Machmir according to this approach, say Moshav means? Ah, kol mokom shatem yoshvim. So if you skip ahead to the first bow tie, what do you see? You see that the Tanakhama is saying Moshav is kol mokom, it's abbreviated chof mem kol mokom shatem yoshvim. And Rebbe Lozer, who is then going to be presented as, according to the second approach, the Mekil, why would he say Lukula? Because his take on the word Moshav, you guessed it, is after Yerushan Yeshiva, only in Eretz Yisrael then. Let's read it in the Gemara. So we said, O Dilma Beis, Lukula Polik, Rebbe Lozer presents the lenient approach to Chodosh, Vahochi Komar Tanakhama, and the Tanakhama in the Mishnah is really saying as follows. Land-based mitzvahs are restricted to Eretz Yisrael, chutz min orla v'al-kilayim, the hilchasot gemirila, with the exception of orla and kayim, based on an oral tradition, they are binding in the chutz laretz as well. V'kol shekein chadash, and certainly chadash applies outside the land of Israel. Here, why would it be certain? Because you have a scriptural impetus for concluding thusly. The moishav, which is a word in the Torah, Moshvo Sechem, Kol Mokom Shatem Yoshvim Mashma. It implies wherever you are, even outside the land of Israel. So the Tanakhama is Machmir, the Osir Rebbe Lozer LeMeimar. Rebbe Lozer is coming to be Mekil, as our triangle indicated before. Chodosh, and again we dash on a Chodosh. What's Rebbe Lozer's approach to Chodosh? Egela Baretz. It's restricted to the land of Israel. De Moshav, the word Moshav in the Torah, L'achar Yerushav Yeshiva Mashma. It implies only after the 14 years of the Jewish sojourn in Eretz Yisrael, and hence the mitzvah of Chodesh is restricted to Eretz Yisrael. Umay Af. Now, here we have to deal with the language in the Mishnah. We have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. And it used to be aligned with the very top line. You saw the Tanakhama saying chutz min orla v'kilayim, and according to this approach, the Tanakhama is the more restrictive opinion. So he's saying, Tanakhama is saying that there are three exceptions, namely mitzvahs that even though they're land based, apply outside the land of Israel, and they're orla v'kilayim and certainly chodosh. And Rebbe Lozer comes along and says, af ha-chodosh. What is af? Af means an even chodosh, or chodosh as well. As well what? If the Tanakhama has included Chodosh as being prohibited in Chutz Laretz as well, what's Af a Chodesh mean? So according to this approach, it means that so too Chodesh is like the first category, namely, mitzvahs that are land-based are restricted to Eretz Yisrael, and Rebbe Loza says, and Chodesh as well is one of those restricted to Eretz Yisrael. So the Af in the Mishnah is a throwback to the first part of the Mishnah. That's what the Gemara means here when it says, Umay Af, what does Af mean? A komaisa. It's adding to the beginning of the Mishnah. We have a little star. You can look at Rashi right across from here. There's a star showing you where we're going to read from. And Rashi says, V'osu Rebbe Elazar l'meimar, and Rebbe Elazar comes along to say, Af ha-chodesh hu min ha-mitzvahs ha-tluyos ba'aretz, v'ein noheg ela ba'aretz. Chodesh as well is one of those mitzvahs that is land-bound and applies only in the land. And why would you hold that way? The Moshev l'achishu v'shiva mashma. The word Moshev or Moshev sechem in the Pasuk means after the conquest of the land. Well, we've presented the question. What is Rebbe Elazar's opinion? Another way to state this is, what is Rebbe Elazar's definition of Moshav? If we can nail that, if we can focus or isolate what his own opinion is about what Moshav means, then I'll know what his opinion is regarding Chodesh. If Moshav means Kol Mokom Shatem Yoshvim, so he's coming to include Chutz Laretz as being the place of observing Chodesh, so he was the Ma'id B'Machmir. If Rebbe Elazar's opinion on the word Moshav is, or his interpretation of Moshav is, La'acha Yerusha V'Yeshiva, then I know that Moshav for him is something that's restricted to Eretz Yisrael. How are we going to figure this out? So we're going to figure this out through, we'll call the back door, or in a default fashion. What do I mean by that? So we're not going to find a source where Rebbe Elazar spells out his opinion on Moshav, but we'll find out what the opinion of he who argues on Rebbe Elazar is, and we'll thereby be able to understand what Rebbe Elazar's own opinion is. The Gemara, Toshma, to note the long marking. The Omar Abaye, Man Tana de Pola Goledi Rebbe Elazar, Rabbi Shmuel he. Abaye says with certainty that the Tana that disagrees with Rebbe Elazar is Rabbi Shmuel by name. At this point, it's not important for us to find Rabbi Shmuel going up against Rebbe Elazar. I would think, in general, when you learn most Gemaras, that's what the next step would be. Once you say, who is the one that argues with Rebbe Elazar, you're expecting to see a source in which Rabbi Shmuel and Rebbe Elazar argue with one another. That's not going to happen. That's what makes this Gemara a little bit, say, out of the ordinary. Abaye tells us as a fact, Rabbi Shmuel is the one that disagrees with Rebbe Elazar. What then is important for us to do? It's important for us to find a source in which Rabbi Shmuel speaks up. He might be arguing with someone else. We're going to see he argues with Rabbi Akiva. And he might be featuring the word Moshav in a totally different context. And that's true. We're going to see that in the upcoming source. But what we are interested in seeing is, how does the one who disagrees with Rabbi Elazar understand the word Moshav wherever the word Moshav appears? So we're going to tell you now, thanks to Abaye, that the one who argues with Rebbe Elazar, we know that in our Mishnah, Rebbe Elazar is part of a controversy. Someone's arguing with him. Well, the one who argues with him, according to Abaye, happens to be Rabbi Shmuel. What does Rabbi Shmuel say the word Moshav means? We're not going to see, once again, I'm repeating something we said before, and that is that we're going to see Rabbi Shmuel dealing with the word Moshav, but not in the context of Chodesh. That doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. It's important just to see, how does Rabbi Shmuel deal with the word Moshav, wherever it appears. The topic that the Gemara presents now, the Tanaic source that it presents, deals with the topic known as Nesachim. Nesachim, in some English translations, you'll find it as translated as the drink offerings. Truth is that Nesachim are we'll call sub sacrificial or they're elements of a sacrifice that come along with many sacrifices. In other words, there's an expectation that when one brings different kinds of sacrifices, along with the sacrifices, they bring a certain amount of wine and a certain amount of flour. Soilus, meal offering. Okay, so we have, that's called Nisachim. From this point on, all we have to refer to is the word Nisachim, and you know what we're talking about. This requirement of Nisachim, along with one's sacrifices, at what point in history did that requirement begin? Did it set in? You guessed it, the word Moshvosechem is going to be a factor in this discussion, because in the Torah, in Parsha Shlach, Nisachim is part of a pasuk that says, and I'm looking at Rashi, third to last of the narrow lines in the Rashi, Ki savoyel eretz moshvoisechem vasisem ishel Hashem, and you see it as well as I do, the word moshvoisechem in the context of Nisachim. So on the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, and we indicate Muvah Rashi. Rashi presents this in a rather elaborate fashion. So let's read our comment, the introductory note. Moshvoisechem dichsiv eitzel Nisachim, the word moshvoisechem that appears in the context of those parallel offerings, the Nisachim, Machlekes Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Kiva. These two Tanoim argue. Rabbi Shmuel holds, and every time you see or we make reference to Rabbi Shmuel, recognize that through him we will then understand what Rabbi Lozer's opinion is. So Rabbi Shmuel says that Moshvosecha means Achar Yerusha V'Yeshiva. Ein Chiyuv Nesochim Al Bomas Tzibur Elo Achar Yud Dalit Shona. There is no obligation of bringing these Nesochim offerings on a public altar Elo until the passage of 14 years of Shal Yerusha V'Yeshiva. Now, that means that all the years in the desert, there were no Nesachim being offered. The first time where the Jewish people are introduced to Nesachim, by way of practice, is after 14 years of being in Eretz Yisrael. Lo hoyachiyuv beGilgal al mizbeach hanechoshes shehoyasham, according to Rabbi Shmuel, even though there was a public altar in Gilgal. Gilgal was the central headquarters, if you will, of the Jewish people during the first 14 years of their presence in Eretz Yisrael, and there was the copper Mizbeach, I believe, the one that Moshe Rabbeinu made, part of the Mishkan. It was located in Gilgal, and even though it was a public altar, no Nisachim were brought there. Rak b'Shilo hischil achiyuv. Only in Shiloh, which was the next Mishkan location after the 14 years, it was in Gilgal, then the obligation of Nisachim set in. Rabbi Shmuel, Ein Moshev Mashma Kol Mokom Shatem Yoshvim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the word Moshev does not imply wherever you are. As we said, as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, it clearly is a reference to in Eretz Yisrael, and only after you're there 14 years. Oh, well, once we have established that, we then know what Rebbe Lozer's opinion is. Namely, that Moshvosechem, we mean wherever you are, and that Rebbe Lozer is a Machmir. Our note goes on to present Rabbi Kiva. But once we know Rabbi Shmuel's position, we have found our answer as to what Rabbi Lozer's opinion in the Mishnah regarding Chodesh is. And if you look in your Gemara text, four lines from the bottom, let's read it right now. The Gemara there says, Midomar Abaye, Man Tana de Polig Rabbi Lozer. From the fact that Abaye said, who is the Tana that argues with Rabbi Lozer? Rabbi Shmuel. It is Rabbi Shmuel. And what is Rabbi Shmuel's opinion as far as the word Moshev means? Restricted to Eretz Yisrael after 14 years of dwelling there. Ah, Shma Mino, Rabbi Lezer, L'chumra Polik, Shma Mino. From this we conclude then that Rabbi Lozer is taking the word Moshev to mean wherever you are. And if that's the case, Chodesh applies outside the land of Israel as well. What's the Tanakhama's opinion then? No, it's restricted to Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Lozer is the Machmir. And that, the Gemara feels, is a conclusive answer. In our introductory note on the side, we also mention Rabbi Akiva's opinion regarding the Nesachim. So Rabbi Akiva says, "B'chol mokim shatem yoshvim, etzel Nesachim zebar lidei bitui." Regarding Nesachim, this manifests itself. Shebizman heter bomas, at the time in Jewish history that private altars were allowed. Now, private altars were not always allowed, and their permission, their allowance was actually quite limited in time, historically speaking. So at the time that personal altars were allowed, benigud l'mash shehoya b'midbar, in contrast to the situation in the desert. While the Jews were traveling the desert, there was no such thing as personal altars. So Rabbi Akiva says that regarding the Nesachim, when Heter Bomas arose, when private altars were allowed, and we could say that was certainly during the 14 years of the conquest of the land of Israel and its distribution, wherever you were, you decided to set up a personal altar and you offer your sacrifices there, you're going to offer the accompanying Nesachim as well. So Rabbi Akiva takes the word Moshe Vosechem to include all places that you happen to be, and hence you see the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in the context of Nesachim. As far as Heter Bomas is concerned, there's more to the story. There was another time in history between the destruction of Shiloh and the building of the Beis Hamikdash by Shlomo Melech, where there was also Heter Bomas, but we don't have to dwell on that. Now the Gemara. We had raised the question, the long question was, what is Rebbe Lozer's opinion? And we say, Toshma. Note, again, we have a long Toshma marking. D'yom Rabbi, man Tana de Pola Galei de Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shmueli, who is the Tana that disagrees with Rebbe Lozer regarding the definition of Moshe Vosechem? It is Rebbe Shmuel. D'sanya, the Tanaic source regarding the Nesachim offerings. The word Moshav, and by Nesachim the word Moshav appears, it comes to tell me that in the case of Nesachim, for example, they apply only after the 14 years of conquest and distribution of the land. That's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. And with that in mind, now we've written in between the lines so that you don't lose the connection between this and the previous question. The result of this would be that according to Rabbi Shmuel, there is no Chodosh outside of Israel. What would Rabbi Lozer's opinion be? He's the one that argues. Rabbi Lozer would be Machmir and say that Moshav means wherever you are, and hence Chodosh would apply outside the land. Omer lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva takes issue with Rabbi Shmuel regarding the Nesachim. Hare Shabbos Shinemar Boi Moshavos V'Noheges Bein Baretz Bein Bechutz Laretz. The word Moshavos Lo Suva Aresh B'Chol Moshvo Yisechem V'Yom HaShabbos. The pasuk says that you shall not strike fire wherever B'Chol Moshvo Yisechem on Shabbos. Now, Shabbos is something that's not land-bound. It applies in Eretz Yisrael and applies outside of Israel. So there you've got a mitzvah that applies outside the land of Israel, and you've got Moshavos. So that you can't tell me, says Rabbi Akiva, that Moshavos means some type of restriction to the land of Israel. Omar Lei, Rabbi Shmuel says back, Shabbos, the fact that Shabbos applies outside the land of Israel, mikal v'chomer asya, it comes through Kal v'chomer logic. It's not based on the verse. Ma mitzvahs kalas nehages bein baretz bein b'chutzaretz. Mind you, light level mitzvahs. We say light level mitzvahs that are not punishable by by capital punishment as opposed to Shabbos, which is. The violation of Shabbos carries with it a death penalty. So, mind you, light mitzvahs are binding in Eretz Yisrael and outside the land of Israel. Shabbos chamira lo kol shekein. Shabbos, which we said is a more severe type of mitzvah, all the more so it will apply outside the land of Israel. Mida Omar Abaye, from the fact that Abaye told us unequivocally, Man tana de poligolei de Rebbe Elazar, Rabbi Yishmael, who is the one that argues with Rebbe Elazar? It is Rabbi Yishmael. And as we said before, through Rabbi Yishmael, I can figure out what Rabbi Elazar's opinion is. Shma mina, we therefore conclude, Rabbi Elazar l'chumra polig, shma mina, the Rabbi Elazar, when he said afa chodosh, he's adding to the list of restrictions, not only Orla and Kilayim apply outside the land of Israel, but chodosh as well applies outside the land of Israel. And this is all a function of Rabbi Elazar holding that Moshav means wherever you dwell, even outside the land of Israel. Now, the Gemara turns its attention to the Nesachim discussion that we just learned. Michti, Rabbi Shmuel, Ahechokoi, Rabbi Shmuel, who limits to Eretz Israel, who says that Moshav means only Acha Yerusha V'Yeshiva. Where does that opinion manifest itself, or where was it stated? Anesachim was stated in the context of Nesachim. So, what are we to understand from that? That Rabbi Shmuel said, since the word Moshav Yisechem appears in Nesachim, it restricts me to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, but when you look closely at the pasuk, Benesachim, the Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Bia'u Moshav Ksiv Behu. The word Moshav doesn't appear by itself. Not like the case of, let's say, Chodosh, where the word Moshav appears by itself. That's what we think right now, but we're going to change that in a minute. By Nesachim, there's another word. It says in the Torah, regarding Nesachim, when you come into the land, that's the word Bia. Bia means coming into the land. So, it could very well be that the reason Rabbi Shmuel holds that Nesachim are restricted to Eretz Israel is because there's a double expression leading me to that conclusion. But where Moshavo Seichem would appear without Bia, without a word like Kisavo, Kiyavo, a word, a Torah word indicating entrance, Moshavo Seichem would not limit me to Eretz Yisrael. And then, and between the lines, you're supposed to say then, well, by Chodosh, we think there's only Moshavo Seichem. The Gemara answers, not so. Hachi ka'omar. Now the diamond that appears here will be useful later on. On the side of the Gemara we have a mivneh, a structural note, which indicates shtei lishonos shel Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. There are two versions of Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, of the opinion stated in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel concerning Rabbi Shmuel, Mosai Amrinon, when do we say Achar Yerushav Yeshiva? The Roman numeral number one, and that's what we're dealing with right now, Rak im kosuv bia umoshav. You need actually both words to limit me to Eretz Yisrael. According to the second approach, the Roman numeral number two, there afilu im kosuv bia bilvad. Even with the word bia alone, I'll be limited to Eretz Yisrael. When we say bia, we're referring to psukim that say ki savou bevoachem. Other words that indicate coming into the land. The examples I'm giving are not to be taken at face value or literally. We're going to present some alternatives. But certainly if you see words like ki yivyacha or ki savo'u, those indicate entrance to the land. The word bevoachem, even though it also indicates coming to the land, we're going to see that might be a different word or have a different conclusion. So right now, we have to deal with the problem that Rabbi Shmuel, who says Nesachim is limited to Eretz Yisrael, and only after the 14 years of conquest, that is a function of two words that appear in Nesachim, Bio and Moshav. Who was to say that Rabbi Shmuel would say the same thing by Chodosh? So the Gemara says as follows: Hochi Ko'omar, Lelamed Shekomokim Shenemar Bia Umoishav Eino Elo Liachar Yerusha V'Yeshiva Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That in the original statement of Rabbi Shmuel, in the Tanaic source presented toward the lower part of Omen Aleph, in the original source it said, we're upgrading that now and reading it as we did now, that to wherever it says Bia and Moshav, it means after Yerusha V'Yeshiva. And what we wrote in between the lines, which we took from Rashi, and this is really the main point, and that is that by Chodosh also you have both expressions, Bia and Moshav. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is, as we said, Chodosh is limited to Eretz Yisrael, and hence Rabbi Elazar is more machmir, saying that it's not limited to Eretz Yisrael. Once we know Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, we then will find out what Rabbi Elazar's opinion is. The Gemara continues, Ihochi, if Rabbi Shmuel is saying, how do I know that the Nesachim is after Yerusha and Yeshiva, and it's restricted to Eretz Yisrael? How are we to understand Rabbi Akiva's response to that? Rabbi Akiva responded by citing Shabbos. Ihochi, oh Marlo, Rabbi Akiva re Shabbos shenema boi moishavois. We saw Rabbi Akiva responding to Rabbi Yishmael saying, well, by Shabbos you have the word moishavois, and it applies outside the land. And Rabbi Shmuel said back, Shabbos, Kal v'chomer hi. The reason Shabbos applies outside the land is because we have Kal v'chomer logic leading us to that conclusion. But at this point, Rabbi Shmuel didn't have to say we have Kal v'chomer logic. Name ole, Rabbi Shmuel could have simply said, Ano bio moshev kuamino. When I speak about something after 14 years and restricted to the land of Israel, that's when you've got two expressions, Bia and Moshav. But Shabbos, only Moshav appears. We said, Lo suvaresh b'chol moshev yisichem b'yom ha-Shabbos. There you don't have a Bia word, ki yavo, ki savo. You don't have that by Shabbos. And that's why Shabbos applies outside the land. So our question is, why does Rabbi Shmuel respond to Rabbi Kiva citing a Kal v'chomer about Shabbos? The Gemara says, you're right. Chada v'oid ko'omar lei. Rabbi Shmuel had a double-pronged response to Rabbi Akiva. Chada, first of all, da'ana bia u'moshev kamina. You're trying to say that the word Moshav doesn't restrict me to Eretz Yisrael. I agree that Moshav doesn't restrict me to Eretz Yisrael. I spoke about Nesachim being restricted to Eretz Yisrael and only after the 14 years. That's because you've got Bia and Moshav. V'oid, and furthermore, the Ko'amris, Hare Shabbos, Shnemar Boi Moshavos, you cited Shabbos and it has the word Moshavos connected with it, and you were posing that as a challenge to me at the outset. Well, Shabbos Kal v'chomer hi. There's a Kal v'chomer logic that through which we conclude that Shabbos is binding outside the land as well. B'mai komifligi. Rashi, the first of the narrow lines up at the upper part of the page, B'mai komifligi. Ma ra Rabbi Kiva Shelo lomad Rabbi Shmuel. What motivated Rabbi Kiva not to learn like Rabbi Shmuel? The Kevon Dechsiv Bio Moishav Boretz Komalach Yeshi Yeshiva. That's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, that you find Bio and Moshav by the Nesachim, and that, according to Rabbi Shmuel, restricted me to Yerusha, after Yerusha Yeshiva, and only in the land of Israel. Rabbi Kiva doesn't accept that. What's the background? What's the reason that Rabbi Kiva didn't accept that? The Gemara continues. Bekirvu Nesachim Bamidbar Kamifugi. They argue, their machlokes is rooted in a machlokes concerning whether or not they offered Nesachim in the Mishkan while in the Midbar, in the wilderness sojourn of 40 years after leaving, after the Exodus from Egypt. During that time, there was a Mishkan, and sacrifices were offered, where Nesachim expected to be offered in the Mishkan in the Midbar. Rabbi Shmuel Savar, lo kirvu Nesachim b'Midbar. There was no Nesachim offering in the Midbar. The obligation of Nesachim, according to Rabbi Shmuel, began only after 14 years in the land of Israel, and even then, only in Shiloh, and not wherever, not b'chol makim. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, Savar, kirvu Nesachim b'Midbar. Private people brought Nesachim with their sacrifices, when they brought their sacrifices to the Mishkan, to the central altar in the Midbar, private people, when they brought their sacrifice, would bring Nesachim. The pasuk by Nesachim that says, and when you come into the land, you'll offer Nesachim, but they were already offering Nesachim in the Midbar. So what does the Torah mean, according to Rabbi Akiva, when it says, and when you come into the land, you'll bring Nesachim? So, according to Rabbi Akiva, that comes to tell me that even on private altars that were allowed during the 14 years of conquest and division of the land, sacrifices brought then needed Nesachim. This, the phenomenon of private altars was a new thing, because in the Midbar there weren't private altars. Let's take a look at Rashi, more or less across from here. Rabbi Kiva Savar, Kivu Nesachim LeYochid B'Midbar. Private people who were bringing their personal sacrifices in the desert brought Nesachim too. Let me read that again. Rabbi Kiva Savar, Kivu Nesachim LeYochid B'Midbar, Mishikorvu LeRabim. Hilkoch Al Korchoch I Lahatino Nesachim LeBoma G'doylo. If you're going to take the pasuk to mean that Nesachim are necessary at the central altar, lo sirich kra. You don't need a pasuk to tell me about that. Shikvar tuna umedes. They were already commanded to bring Nesachim. Ubiu amura kan lo huskra elo mitnei bomas yochid. The reference to the coming into the land and now being required to bring Nesachim has relevance only regarding the private altar. Shehutru b'viyosan l'gilgal kol yudalit shana. That was new. The idea of a private altar during those 14 years when the Mishkan was situated in Gilgal. Gilgal was a location at the entrance to Eretz Yisrael, and they crossed the Jordan River. Bo'akos of latinam Nesachim. The pasuk is coming to require even the sacrifices brought on private altars to have Nesachim along with them. Let's turn back to the Gemara. After presenting the basis of the Machlokis, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, we now focus in on Rabbi Yishmael. Up till now, Rabbi Shmuel was saying, in order for something to be restricted to Eretz Yisrael, you would have to have the words Bio and Moshav. You found that by Nesachim, you found that by Chodosh. Omar Abaye, Hai Tano Debei Rabbi Yishmael, the Tano, the version of Rabbi Shmuel, the Tanaic source coming forth from the academy of Rabbi Shmuel, that we saw before that holds the limitation to Eretz Yisrael after Yerush and Yeshiva applies only if you have both words, Moshav and Biyah. Well, that is Mapik Meidoch Tano Debei Rabbi Shmuel. That is to the, we'll say, exclusion of another version of that which was taught in the academy of Rabbi Yishmael. Because according to this other version, the Roman numeral number 2, even if you have the word bia alone, the pasuk would say, ki savo el aretz, that word alone would indicate achar Yerusha and Yeshiva, after the conquest and division of the land. Detana debei Rabbi Shmuel. Hoyol v'nemru bi'ois b'Torah stam. The word bi'o appears in the Torah in an, let's say, an unexplained or unqualified fashion. Uporat lo hakosuv be'echod mehem l'achar Yerusha Yeshiva. And in one case, in the case of the king, the mitzvah of appointing a king, there the Torah says, Rashi quotes the relevant pasuk. Rashi says, "Ki savoy el haoretz," and it goes on to say, "V'yarashta v'yashavta bo v'yamarto simolai melech." There you see Yerusha and Yeshiva spelled out explicitly in the context of bi'a, ki savoy el haoretz. We learn from this, af kol li'achar Yerusha v'yeshiva. So to wherever the word bi'a appears, it's a reference to after that whatever mitzvah appears in that context, it will apply only after the 14 years stated above. The Gemara, in its characteristic style, goes ahead with a type of back and forth discussion between Roman numeral number 1 versus Roman numeral number 2, the two versions. The Idoch, according to the first approach, that bia alone is not enough, why is it, according to Roman numeral number 1 approach, the word bia alone doesn't restrict me to achar Yerusha Yeshiva? Mishum dahave melech ubikurim, two mitzvahs, shnei ksuvim haboim ke'echad. This concept we've seen in our recent shiurim, so I don't want to review that again so as not to bore those who are not first-time listeners. But the idea is, when you have two psukim that come to teach me essentially the same thing, they cannot serve as a precedent for anything else. Melech, you've got the posuk saying ki savo, you have bia, and you've got in that posuk v'yarashta v'yashavta, and by bikurim, the first fruits that a person brings from his farm, from his agricultural establishment to Jerusalem and presents it to a kohen, the mitzvah of bikurim, that mitzvah as well has bia in it. The posuk says v'hoya ki savo l'aretz, and Rashi points out Yerusha and Yeshiva are spelled out by Bikurim as well. We have two psukim with Bia alone, Yerusha and Yeshiva stated in their respective contexts. That creates a situation of Shnei Ksuvim Aboyim Ke'echod, and the rule is called Shnei Ksuvim Aboyim Ke'echod, Ein Malamdin. They cannot serve as a precedent. Therefore, only by Melech and Bikurim would Bia mean after Yerusha Yeshiva, only because it says so explicitly in the pasuk. But in general, if you have the word bia alone, it's not going to restrict me to achar Yerusha and Yeshiva. Roman numeral 1 therefore concludes you'd have to have moishav with bia to restrict me to achar Yerusha and Yeshiva. Let's continue. V'idach, that's Tana de Be'Yishrael, Roman numeral number 2, who didn't hesitate to learn from Melech and conclude that Bia alone is enough to restrict me to Achar Yerusha V'Yeshiva. In order to respond to what Roman numeral number 1 said, his job is to show that it's not a case of Shnei Ksuvim Aboyim Ke'echad. How do you show that it's not a case of Shnei Ksuvim Aboyim Ke'echad? by demonstrating that if I would have stated only one, I wouldn't have been able to figure out the other. We have two mitzvahs right now. We have Melech and Bikurim. Shnei Ksuv Maborim Kecha means they both come to tell me essentially the same thing. That the Torah could have written one, I didn't need to write the other, and I would have been able to figure it out. Why did the Torah write it? That makes into Shnei Ksuv Maborim Kecha, and you can't learn from them. Ah, but if I can show you that the Torah needs to state each one, and I couldn't figure out one from the other, it's no longer Shnei Ksuvim, HaBoyim Kechod. And that's what we're going to see now. V'idoch Tzrichi. Roman numeral number 2 that says Bia alone, as we see by the king, is a precedent setter, holds that I need both Bikurim and Melech to be taught by the Torah with the word Bia, and stating Acha Yerusha V'Yeshiva. The Kosav Rachmona Melech, had the Torah told me that the appointing of a king is after 14 years, V'lo Kosav Bikurim, and not tell me about that regarding Bikurim, Havamina, I would have thought Bikurim de Komis Hani, Lauter Bikurim, that you first, the fruits, they're the first fruits that your farm produces, you're immediately benefiting from your produce. So bring Bikurim immediately as a sign of gratitude to the Almighty that He's giving you fruits that you're able to benefit from, and therefore, Lauter. That would apply immediately. Not, I wouldn't have to wait 14 years before being obligated in that. So by stating the 14-year delay with regard to King, wouldn't have shed any light on the need of a requirement of waiting 14 years. But regarding Bikurim, the Ikosav Bikurim, the Lo Kosav Melech, had the Torah said Bia and Bikurim will apply only after Yerusha and Yeshiva, I wouldn't have been able to figure that out by a king. Havi Amina, I would have thought Melech de Darko Lichboish, a king whose nature or whose office is intertwined, is pretty much required to be the leader of an army. His derech lichbosh means the derech of a king, the way of a king is to conquer. And the Jews, upon entering the land, immediately were involved with fighting, with defeating, with conquering the local inhabitants. So regarding Melech, who it is Darkoi Lichbosh, it's the expectation of a king to lead in battle. The Rashi quotes the Melech the Darkoi Lichbosh Yosimu Aleim La'alter. The Pesuk makes reference to the placing of a king upon the people. That should be immediately V'yetze Lifneim, and let him go forth ahead of them to lead them into battle. And that's what the Gemara means when it says Melech the Darkoi Lichbosh. The Gemara says Le'alter, that should have been immediate. Ah, therefore, by telling me about Bikurim waiting 14 years before it applies, I wouldn't have known the same thing by a king. Therefore, the Torah had to spell it out by a king as well. So we don't have a case of Shnei Ksuvim HaBoyim Kecho. They're not two mitzvahs that come that reflect an identical idea. Ve'idach, well, Roman numeral number 1, the first approach of the Tanna Rebbe Shmuel, said that Bikurim and Melech are Shnei Ksuvim HaBoyim Kechod. How does he come to that conclusion? As follows, Nichtoiv Rachmona Melech, let the Torah write that the appointing of a king is to take place only after Yerusha, only after Yerusha V'Yeshiva, conquest and distribution. V'lo boy Bikurim, and the Torah did not have to spell it out by Bikurim, v'ano amino, and I would have figured as follows. I would have applied logic. Uma melech de lichboish, mind you, a king whose job is to lead into battles of conquest, and that's something that is essentially needed immediately. That's what they were commanded to, conquer the land. And yet, li'achar Yerusha v'Yeshiva, something that human logic would have led you to say is an immediate obligation to appoint the king, and the Torah comes along and says, no, wait till after Yerush and Yeshiva, Bikurim lo kol shekein, Bikurim, all the more so, I would have been able to figure out, wait till after Yerusha and Yeshiva. Chomash Malon, the fact that the Torah writes it anyway, right, spells out that which I could have figured out, that comes to show me, let me just retract a moment. Chomash Malon is not appropriate for right now, but simply the first opinion saying that even though Bikurim could have been derived through logic that it would wait 14 years, and yet the Torah spells it out, that shows me that I have Shnei Ksuvim, Haboyim Kechod. And hence, Tanya B'Shmuel number 1 says, the word Bia alone cannot teach me Achar Yerusha V'Yeshiva. It's true that Bia alone appears by Melech, and it, we know Achar Yerusha V'Yeshiva, it applies, but it appears also by Bikurim. And that's Shnei Ksuvim, Haboyim Kechod, and therefore it does not serve as a precedent. The Idach, Tana de Rishwel number 2, E Kosav Hochi, had the Torah written only by Melech, the Bia and Achar Yerusha V'Yeshiva, after 14 years, I wouldn't have said that Bikurim certainly is also going to wait. Have Amina, Midi Dave Achala. I would have said that Bikurim is going to be parallel to or patterned after the mitzvah of challah. The mitzvah of challah is the tithing of dough. When you create a sufficient batter of dough, you are required to separate from it an amount and give it to the kohen. That's called mitzvah's challah. That mitzvah was binding upon the Jewish people immediately upon the entrance into the land. Rashi says, "Midi davi achala." Rashi across from says, "Da kol moedim." Everyone agrees she is chayvu ba miyad, that they became obligated in that immediately. Dichtiv ba bevoachem means upon your entrance to the land, you have to tithe the chala tithe. And here Rashi goes on to say that the word bevoachem is not to be compared to the other words we've mentioned before, ki yavi achar, ki savo. Hence, everyone will agree that bevoachem means immediate, not after 14 years. And had the Torah not spelled out by Bikurim after 14 years, I would have paralleled Bikurim with challah. Therefore, the Torah had to write it by, had to write Achar Yerusha V'Yeshiva by Bikurim. And as far as the Tana of the Beis Shmuel number 2, Melech and Bikurim are not Shnei Ksuvim Haboim Kechod. And just to review the last point, not like number 1 claimed, let the Torah write Melech and I could have figured out on my own Bikurim will wait 14 years. And the fact that the Torah writes that anyway shows me it's Shnei Ksuvim Haboim Kechod. That's simply not true. I couldn't have let the Torah write just Melech because I wouldn't have figured out Bikurim. I would have thought to parallel Bikurim to challah. Therefore, by the Torah repeating Achar Yerusha V'Yeshiva by Bikurim, it's not a case of Shnei Ksuvim Haboim Kechod, according to Roman numeral number 2. You notice we have, as the Gemara continues, a long point marking. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. The double underline and a trapezoid or volcano shape is used to highlight the fact that the word Moshav, when our note reads, Hezber l'moshav obia hamofim eitzel misper mitzvis shen chayves haguf. These words, Moshav and Bia, appear in the context of mitzvahs that are cleanly chayves haguf. They're clearly personal obligations. They're not land-based obligations. Why does the Torah write Moshav or Bia, words that have the potential of limiting me to the land, to the entrance to Eretz Yisrael, what relevance do these words have regarding mitzvahs that are choyves haguf? If you look at our volcano shapes, you notice Shabbos, Chelev Adam are halachas regarding food matters. Chelev is the forbidden fats in an animal. Dam is the forbidden prohibition of eating blood. And you see a matzah and moror. You see tefillin and peter chamor, the redemption of a firstborn donkey. All of these are not land-based mitzvahs. What role does the word moshav or the word biyah have? Biyah will be featured not it will, only at the fourth example. If you go to the fourth volcano, you see the double underline highlights biyah dekos rachmonagabi tulin peter chamor. What function do those words have in with regard to those mitzvahs? Now the Gemara. V'hashto v'yamris chayves haguf noyheges bein beretz Yisrael bein b'chutzlars. Now that we've explained the Mishnah, that when the Mishnah had mentioned mitzvahs sheinam tluyus baretz apply outside the land of Israel as well, and we said what is meant by mitzvahs sheinam tluyus baretz. Those are mitzvahs that are not land-based, rather they're personal obligations. They're literally you as an individual, upon your body rests the obligation. It's not Eretz Yisrael-based. So, Moshav, the Kosav Rachmona Gabi Shabbos Lomali, why does the Torah use the word Moshav in the context of Shabbos? Now, Rashi's explanation of this is, Lomali came in the Chavis Agufi, Pshita the Neheges Bechom Moshavos. If you're going to take the word Moshvo Sechem to mean wherever you are, I don't. You see, if you're going to take Moshav to mean limited territory Israel, so certainly Moshav would have no relevance to Shabbos, because Shabbos is not limited territory Israel. But even if you say that Moshav means wherever you are, what is the need for that to be spelled out with regard to Shabbos? Shabbos is a chovas haguf. It's obvious that it applies wherever you are, even without the Torah spelling it out. Itzterich. I need the word moshav to tell me wherever you are. Sagadaita chamina. Since the Torah features Shabbos in the context of the holidays, how do we know when a holiday is to be observed? It's rooted in when the lunar Jewish month begins. The holiday of Sukkot, the holiday of Pesach are on the 15th of their respective months. How do we know when the first of the month is? We know that through court involvement, involving the testimony of witnesses who come to the court, to the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin was in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's called Kiddush Beis Din. The Gemara tells us that Shabbos, since it's in the context of the holidays, Tiboy Kiddush Kimayados, I would have thought that the court declaration of when, we'll just say in general terms, when Shabbos is anticipated to arrive would be necessary in establishing Shabbos. Komashmolon, so the word Moshavo Seichem that appears in Shabbos tells me not so. Shabbos is to be observed regardless of any court involvement. There's no need for any declaration of a new month or the beginning of a week or whatever in order for Shabbos to be observed. A similar question is raised now with regard to Chelev and Dam. Moishav dekosav rachmono gabi Chelev vedam lomali. Why does the Torah write Moshav, which implies wherever you are, you shall observe the prohibition of consuming chelev and dam? Rashi quotes the pasuk Chukas Oylum L'Doroisechem B'Chol Moshvoisechem Kol Chelev V'Chol Dam Lo So Chelu. Why is that necessary? After all, it's not a land-based restriction. It's a chovas aguf. The Gemara answers, it's derech. I need the Torah to spell out the binding nature of chelev v'dam wherever you are. Sakadaita chamina, without the Torah, I would have thought, ha'el v'nyona de korbonas ksivi, since the prohibition of chelev and dam is in the context, is spelled out in the Torah, together with the laws of sacrifices. So I would have thought on my own, bizman dika korbon nitzar chelev adam, when there are korbonas, when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, so then one is restricted in eating chelev and dam. Bizman deleka korbon lo, in the era when there is no Beis HaMikdash, there's no restriction of chelev and dam. Komash Malon, therefore the Torah had to spell out B'chol Moshvoy Sechem, wherever you are, regardless of Korbanos being offered, this prohibition of Chelev and Dam remains. Question: Moshav de Kosav Rachmona Gabi Matzu Mor Lomali. Once again, Matzu Mor is a personal obligation, is a Chayves Aguf. Why is it necessary in the case of Matzah? Rashi quotes the pasuk here too. B'chol moshvoisechem toichlu matzos. Wherever you are, eat matzah on Pesach. Why is that necessary to spell out? So the Gemara answers, it's derech. It's necessary. Salka daita chamina hayu luksiv al matzos umarum yochlu. The Torah says that you shall eat the korban Pesach together with matzah and moror. So I would have thought, bizman diko Pesach in, bizman deleko Pesach lo. When there is a Korban Pesach offered, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, so then the obligation of eating matzah exists. When you're not offering the Korban Pesach, so there's no obligation of eating matzahs. Komash Malon, so b'chol moshvo seichem, tochlu matzahs tells me, wherever you are, even if you're not offering the Korban Pesach, nevertheless, you must eat matzah on the 15th of Pesach. The 15th of Nisan, the Seder night. Bi'a de kosav rachmona gabi tfilin upetach hamor lomali. Why does the Torah mention bi'a, entrance to the land, regarding mitzvahs that are not land-related? Tfilin and petach hamor, the redemption of a firstborn donkey. The Gemara answers, Hahu miboyale, the Torah's writing of entrance to the land with regard to tefillin and petach hamor is needed for the following, d'lechatatona d'vei Rabbi Shmuel, for what he teaches, asei mitzvah zu shebishvila tikones laretz, do this mitzvah, in other words, the performance of the mitzvah of tefillin will serve as a merit to enter the land of Israel. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei, a topic heading. Bizman Kenisa L'Aretz, Bizman Yehoshua, when the Jewish people entered the land under the leadership of Yehoshua, Lo Ochlu Mitvua Chadosha Ad Shikrivo Eimer Yomim Sfurim Achrei Kenisosim L'Aretz. They did not eat from the new grains until the passage of several days after their entrance to the land. They entered the land on the 10th of Nisan. The 10th of Nisan happened to be a day of a very great miracle, the splitting of the Jordan River and the entrance of the Jewish people into the land of Israel. It was a day essentially of a major miracle that took place. It's noteworthy, and it's worthy of a separate discussion. We don't celebrate the 10th of Nisan as a holiday, even though it was a day in which a great miracle took place, a great Eretz Yisrael-related miracle took place. And yet, we don't note it year after year as a holiday on the calendar. And I'm mentioning this parenthetically. It's not part of our discussion, but it's worth focusing on that phenomenon, that it's not declared a holiday, even though it was a great miracle involving the entrance to the land of Israel. what is a determining factor in order to establish a holiday. That is something that one might want to pursue as a separate, we'll say, research project, and do so with this knowledge that a great miracle took place on the 10th of Nisan, a supernatural miracle enabling the Jews to enter the land of Israel, and yet it is not a celebrated day. Let's get back to our topic. We just mentioned that the 10th of Nisan was the date they entered the land. The Pasuk indicates in the book of Joshua that they did not partake of the new grains until the 16th of Nisan. So our note continues by saying, Bishlamo lamandomer de Moshev Hakosov Eitzel Chodosh Eino Melamed al Yerusha v'Yeshiva. This will make sense according to the approach that said that Bia Umoshav that you find by Chodosh does not indicate waiting 14 years. In other words, if it doesn't indicate waiting 14 years, the mitzvah of Chodosh applies immediately. So if the mitzvah of Chodosh applies immediately, I understand that they did not partake of the new grains on the 10th of Nisan. The mitzvah of Chodosh dictates that you have to wait till the 16th of Nisan, the day on which they would be all able to offer the Korban Omer, the grain, the barley grain offering, the barley meal offering that entitled the population to partake of the new grains. Elo, we continue in our note. Avol lamanda Omar de Moishov Hainu Lacher Yerushav Yeshiva the Ad Oz Ein Isur Chodosh. But according to the approach that said Chodosh does not become binding until after 14 years, in other words, there's no Chodosh mitzvah, there's no Chodosh restriction during the first 14 years. Why didn't they benefit from the new grains immediately? Why did they wait till the 16th of Nisan? Well, it's called Mimochras HaPesach. Mochras HaPesach means the day after the 15th of Nisan. The 15th of Nisan was the day in which they, the night of the 15th, they ate the Korban Pesach. Now the Gemara. Bishlamo lamandomer moishav kol mokoim shatem yoshvim mashma. And therefore, moishav that's written by Chodosh doesn't tell me liachar Yerusha and Yeshiva. Hainu, so if once just to review that point, that moishav means wherever you are, the mitzvah is applicable. And it doesn't restrict me, or it doesn't tell me after 14 years. So then, the laws of the Omer offering in order to matir the Chodosh, those laws apply immediately. There's no element of waiting 14 years, because Moshav means Kol Mokom Shatem Yoshvim. Hainu Dichtiv Vayochlu me'avur ha'oretz mimochros ha'pesach. The word avur means the grains. They ate from the grains of the land. Mimochros ha'pesach means on the 16th of Nisan. Mimochros ha'pesach ha'choyl me'ikor lo achol. They waited till the 16th of Nisan and not initially. Me'ikor means at the beginning, and we mentioned they entered the land on the 10th of Nisan, but they didn't eat immediately. They waited till the 16th. Alma, we see from this, we continue at the top of Daf Lamid Ches. Akruv Omer v'hadar Ochel. First offer the Omer, the barley meal offering on the 16th of Nisan, which is its designated date, and then eat from the new grains. Elolamandi Omar liachar Yerusha v'yeshiva. But according to those that understood Moshe Sechem by Chodosh, meaning only after the 14 years. We saw this opinion in the Mishnah that held that Chodosh is limited to Eretz Yisrael. That was the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, whose name didn't appear, but the Tanakama, who said that only Orla and Kilayim are exceptions that they apply outside the land. Chodesh is not an exception. Chodesh is restricted to the land. And that is because Moshevo Sechem means Lachar Yerusha V'Yeshiva. The dinim of Omer and the Easter of Chodesh have to wait. They wait. They don't apply until after 14 years. So, Necholater. Why didn't they eat from the new grains immediately upon entrance to land? There's no restriction until 14 years later. The Gemara answers, basically, you're right. They could have eaten it immediately. But lo, now we have a long answer here. Lo havut srichi. They simply didn't need to benefit from the new grains immediately. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Uvnei Yisrael ochlu es hamon arboim shana ad boyom el eretz noishoves es hamon ochlu ad boyom el ktsei eretz kanan. This pasuk has an inherent difficulty to it. It makes defines how long they ate the mon, but it uses two different end times. It says ad boyam el eretz noshavas, and it says ad boam el ktsei eretz kanan. E f shalomar ad boam el eretz noshavas. You can't say that it means until they reached the eretz noshavas. Now, what Eretz Noshevis itself means, there in the Tosfos, you'll see the third Tosfos on the page, actually has a couple of approaches. The Yesh Meforshim, in the latter part of that Tosfos says that Mishforsh Ibcha, the Eretz Noshevis, Hainu Eretz Sichon V'Oig. These are land regions that the Jewish people conquered before. And before coming to the border of Eretz Yisrael proper, before the Jordan River. And that's called Eretz Nosheves. And why is it called the settled land? So Tosfos says, we call it Eretz Nosheves, the Fisha Kroivu Lemidbar. It's very close to the desert, which is an uninhabited area. So when you got to the Eretz Sichon V'Oigu Mafkami Midbar, it's let's say in contrast to the desert, it Eretz Sichon V'Oig is Eretz Nosheves. V'havyo Yishuv, it's a settled area. Uktzei Eretz Kanan, which is referenced in the Pasuk, Hainu Sof Eretz Kanan. That's the edge of Eretz Kanan, namely where the land of Israel proper. So we go back to the Gemara text. To say that they ate the mon ad boam el Eretz Shavas, that you can't say because Shikvar Nemar El Kitzer Eretz Kanan, which according to the Yesh Meforshim and the Tosis would seem to mean it continued to provide them with sustenance longer than just Ad Boam El Eretz Neshavas. V'ev Shalomar El Kitzer Eretz Kanan, you can't say until then Hashayik Far Nehmar Ad Boam El Eretz Neshavas that the Mon was available to them only up till Eretz Neshavas, which would have been an earlier point in time. How do we resolve these two different time frames referred to in the Pasuk? The Gemara answers, B'shiva v'Adar meis Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu died the 7th of Adar. And upon his death, u'posak mon milei reid. The mon stopped appearing. The mon was the food, the miraculous food, the manna that sustained the Jewish people during their 40 years in the desert. So the mon stopped on the 7th of Nisan. Vahu mistapkin mimon shebeklehem ad shisha asar benisan. In contrast to the, we'll say, the behavior of the mon up till now, which basically rotted by the end of each day, so the people would have to gather new mon each morning. In this case, at the point that Moshe Rabbeinu died, the mon stopped appearing, but they were able to continue using the mon that they had in their vessels ad shisha asar b'nisan, until the 16th of Nisan. So until the 16th of Nisan, they didn't need to benefit from the new grains. But as we said before, technically speaking, they could have. There was no prohibition. because according to this Man Omar, that Moshe Voisechem means after 14 years, before the 14 year period, they could have enjoyed the Chodesh immediately. Tanya Idoch. It's another Tanaic source. Bnei Yisrael Ochlu Asamon Arboim Shana. And the Pasuk says the Jewish people ate the mon for 40 years. V'chi Arboim Shana Ochlu V'alo Arboim Shana Chosu Shloshim Yom Ochlu. But they didn't eat the mon for 40 full years. We know that the mon started only a month after they were in the Midbar. Up till that point, when they left Egypt, they had baked goods with them. Rashi calls them ugos, that they brought out from Mitzrayim, and they lived on that. Rashi goes through all of the chronology, and we conclude from the chronology that only at the 16th of Iyar, which is the second month of their presence in the Midbar, did the mon start to fall. So if you're calculating, we know that they were a total of 40 years in the desert, but the mon didn't start falling until a month after they left Mitzrayim, so they ate the mon 40 years minus 30 days. So why does the Torah say they ate the mon for 40 years? It's 39 years and 11 months. Elo lomar loch. Ugois shotsimi Mitzrayim tamu bohem tamon. The cakes that they took out with them from Mitzrayim happened to have the taste of mon. So for 40 full years, they were eating that which had the taste of mon. It's true, the actual mon did not start falling until a month into the desert. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.